1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
It is another Sunday without Bears football. Some people are excited about that, especially if you watch the game on Thanksgiving Day. You're probably really excited about that. It must have been not only Turkey Day, but Penalty Day with the Bears game, Detroit, and then that second game with the Cowboys. Brian, there were enough penalties. There were flags all over. I wasn't sure if they were throwing flags or napkins from the Thanksgiving Day table. It was crazy.
Yeah, at one point I said I thought there were more penalties than points in the Bears game.
Pretty close.
Yeah, it was just odd.
Yeah,
it was odd. Can we end that tradition anytime soon where the Bears and Lions get one of the slots on Thanksgiving?
That'd be fine. They've done it. Like two or three of the last couple of years? I mean, it's been – I know they did it. They've played a couple times on Thanksgiving. I would rather they don't. That would be fine with me. I'd rather see better football. But as long as you're having Detroit play, you're not going to get much better football. I just saw a stat today that was amazing to me. And that stat said that since – Thanksgiving, November 18, the Bears have won more games at Ford Field than the Lions have. The Bears are 4-0 and the Lions are 3-21. I mean, that's crazy.
So I'm watching, I got a house full of people. We're watching the game, right?
Yeah.
Waiting for the food to cook and all that. And it struck me that the majority of the people in front of the TV, unsolicited, start talking about Justin Fields shouldn't start again this season. That's it. They're done with him. And not necessarily they've given up on the fact that he's going to be a franchise quarterback, but whether it's because he's going to get killed or this coaching staff is going to hinder his progress and damage him to the point where the next coach is going to have more than his hands full.
Right.
Because you let men. But it was amazing because that was the consensus in the room that, you know, Andy Dalton, go ahead and finish out this season and see wherever that takes you. So, but I was surprised because a lot of those people were Justin Fields fans and wanted him on the field sooner than later at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see if people's minds have changed. You want to jump in on that? 312-332-3776. We'll talk Bears today. We'll talk Bulls. We got a little baseball to get into before we're done here at 12 noon before all the other games start. I think we have the Bengals Steelers game here on the radio, so we'll have a bunch of games throughout the course of the day. But yeah, I was thinking the same thing because I saw the poll question that we put up, and it's funny because the people that wanted to see Justin Fields got their wish. He leads the NFL with 9 fumbles, by the way, and now they don't want him to play anymore. Well, don't you still want him to develop if, in fact, he's healthy?
Yeah. I mean, I was the guy who, like, growing pains are fine. That's
sure
exactly what they are. The more experience, the better. And, you know, Matt Nagy, you know, he did say once he's healthy, he's going to be back out there. But we've seen him not only waffle on those statements before when, you know, Andy Dalton's not been promised the starting job, but he's their starter, stuff like that.
Right.
So you don't know. Well, one, you don't know who's calling the shots these days at House Hall after the week that was, right?
Yeah.
Shame on Ryan Pace. I'm going to go on my, you know, get up on my soapbox one. How does this GM get to operate like a stealth GM? How is it that it's just, well, he speaks at the beginning of the season and then you don't hear from him until the end of the season? And no GM who's a self-respecting GM would let your head coach twist in the wind like Nagy did on Tuesday.
Exactly.
It's embarrassing for the organization. The cowardly Ryan is, you know, where is he? Is he keeping such distance from the toxic coach that he doesn't want to be linked with him anymore, even though he's the one who went and got him from Kansas City?
Right.
How is that even possible that, you know, Tabor had to answer the questions about Nagy's future before Nagy did?
Yeah. No, it's crazy. And the only thing he does, he talks out on a weekly basis on the flagship. But that's
it. Great.
Yeah,
And you know on those shows, you're not allowed to ask anything that's going
right
to upset anybody, right?
Sure.
You had safe questions. You know, hey, how about, you know, isn't Darnell Mooney look good? I mean, you try to go to the positive, right?
Right, exactly.
But I don't understand how this has come to be. Again, all the GMs I covered in 26 years at the Sun-Times in every sport, you had their phone number. You could knock on their office door. You would see them around the facility, and they got it. They understood the game on or off the record. It was almost a daily conversation, even if it was, you know, nothing that you had that was pressing, right?
Sure.
But this idea that this guy's off limits, and each year you have a 4, 5, 6 game losing streak, and this you don't even see him? Come on.
Yeah, it's been brutal, and he's done it ever since he's been here, and that's like his way of doing it, but it's crazy. And so we'll see what happens. And the Sun-Times had a nice article today where the three writers for the Sun-Times, Patrick Finley, Jason Leisure, and also Mark Potash, talked about a bunch of things, reacting to some of the stuff that's happened this season, also what happened last week and things like that. I want to get to something, the last thing they had, and Jason Leisure took it the other direction, which was funny. The thing was, if I owned the Bears, my master plan over the next 6 weeks would be.
Oh boy.
And then they each answered it. And Finley said, I'd put Phillips in a role that oversees Arlington Heights and the project. I'd hire a football czar to oversee the GM and the coach, let him decide whether Pace gets to stay, wanting his own coach, whatever. The czar would fire Nagy at the end of the year. While we're at it, I'd also get rid of the orange jerseys. I'd run the Bears, not some low-level ACC team, and upgrade from Diet right in the press box.
It could be worse. It could be the Devils' new jerseys,
yeah,
in Jersey that says Jersey.
I saw those. I heard you guys talking about them yesterday on the hockey show, which if you missed, you can grab on the ESPN Chicago app. Go grab the app. You can get the hockey show. Ben Pope made his appearance on the hockey show yesterday. Jason Leisure took it. Now, think of it. The question was, if I own the Bears, my master plan over the next 6 weeks would be. Jason Leisure's response was, to keep everything exactly the same, including huge contract extensions for Nagy and Pace, I'd encourage them to carry on mortgaging the future by shipping off future draft picks and kicking salary cap hits down the road as often as possible, whatever it takes to keep them meandering harmlessly while I tuck my green number 12 jersey and continue collecting my two easy wins each year while I remind them that all my life I've owned them. So Jason Leisure took it the other way.
To the extreme.
Yes.
And I mean, but that's where we're at, right? I mean, if all that happened, if they did get extensions,
yeah,
wouldn't be the most shocking thing I've ever seen, because
no,
they collaborate, and the culture in the building is apparently the best in the NFL, even though the offensive numbers are among the worst in the NFL. Nothing surprises me. And then you have to rewind to what George and Ted said. Well, you know, Ryan's our football guy.
I know.
That's our football guy. We don't need a football czar.
Yep.
And then and everyone always goes back to this. The easy part is to launch Pace and Nagy, and anyone with a brain cell working would have done it last year, but certainly would do it after this season if it's not going to get done before that. But now George has got the Maras, the Rooneys on speed dial. Right.
Yeah.
Calling other football families who are old school families and asking them, hey, know anybody? Could you point me to a Bill Polian or someone in a modern age? I mean, they don't know what they don't know. So they if you're running a grocery store, do you call the grocery store down the street and say, hey, you know, my sales are really down. What are you guys doing well? Can you help me out here?
Uh huh.
I mean, it defies logic.
It does. There's no doubt about it. The last one, the last of the writers, Mark Potash, again,
our guy.
If I own the Bears, my master plan over the next 6 weeks would be to get out of the way completely and put minority owner Pat Ryan in charge of hiring a president of football operations who would have authority over every facet of the franchise. I would let Phillips handle new stadium matters, but would insist that any and all football decisions be made only by football people. And I think a lot of Bears fans have been yelling about that for a long time. And that's always the biggest question, is if you're going to hire a football guy, which of those two guys, Phillips or McCaskey, is going to hire the football guy?
Yeah. And if the answer is either or both, you're in trouble.
Yeah. And that's why Mark says you put Pat Ryan there, a guy that's, you know, done many wonderful things with businesses and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, he built Aon up to being the behemoth, insurance behemoth that it is.
Sure.
But he's not actually a young guy.
No,
Andy McKenna obviously has experience from being a Cubs executive, and they own what, about 12% combined of the Bears currently? I want to say somewhere in that neighborhood. It's just there, you know, and look what Detroit did. There's no givens here, right?
No,
they went and they got, you know, Spielman and brought in all these people, and Dan Campbell's like out of some central casting B football movie, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Talking about breaking your knees and, you know, taking out an arm and, you know, we're going to be tough. And what does that get you? It gets you a winless season again. But, you know, the Fords tried to overturn the complete front office and brought in some people. Now, I don't know if they still believe they're on the right path. It's just not showing up right now. I don't know. But it's so the easy part, again, is get rid of the GM, get rid of the head coach. But then you better identify somebody who actually has a clue about what the NFL looks like in 21 moving into 2022.
Yep. You can always get to us on Twitter also. You can get to me at Fred_Huebner and him at BrianHanley534. And we have someone that said, I'd hire Louis Riddick. And that comes
there,
up a lot.
There you go.
As president of football operations, have him hire, quote, expand, not quote, but slash expand the scouting department with a little draft capital we have. We're going to have to hit on day two picks to replace aging players and poor depth. So that was from Dan on Twitter. And Louis Riddick's name comes up a lot.
Sure.
He's been in player personnel before. He knows the league. He also knows Matt Nagy very well. And so that would be interesting. I know you hear him a lot on Waddle and Sylvie here on ESPN 1000. You want to jump on in, 312-332-3776. Now, the poll we have on Twitter, at ESPN 1000, is Justin Fields should start again. And there's three options. As soon as he's healthy, only if Dalton struggles, and not until next season. That's the third one. Again, you can find that on Twitter, at ESPN 1000. Or you can give us a call here. We can talk about it, 312-332-3776. When I was here with Xander yesterday, Brian, the one thing that Andy Dalton did in the game on Thursday, you felt comfortable with him there. You felt like, okay, he's an established quarterback. I didn't realize he could get away from the rush as well as he did, and I didn't know that he could take off like he did. He did that several times.
Well, Detroit doesn't have much of a rush to begin with.
No, yeah. They don't. That's true. But I was still thinking he'd be sitting back there, and you know, he dove a couple times for, you know, trying to get first downs and things like that. He's a football player. He's a guy that's established in the league. He can throw the ball. We saw that. Unfortunately, you know, we wasn't sure he could hand off in the first half, which is seven rushes for David Montgomery. So, but I didn't feel, you know, with him at quarterback, I didn't feel bad going into
the game.
There
was no panic, right?
No, not at all.
But Brad Biggs wrote in his 10 thoughts coming out of the game, the last drive, 18 plays, eight and a half minutes.
8.5 minutes, yeah.
I love this stat, though. Since 2001, the Bears have, count them, only three 18-play drives, 18 plays or more, since 2001. Think about that. Now, again, they only scored 16 points against a terrible Detroit defense because they can't – that's what they do. They can't break 24, 28 on a regular basis. So 19-play drive and a 31-7 loss of Baltimore in 2009 resulted turnover on downs. 18-play drive, 27-20 at Green Bay, November 2013, resulted in a field goal. 18-play drive and a 10-6 loss at San Francisco in 2009 resulted in an interception. And then 18-play drive, 35-7 win over Green Bay in 2007, finally a touchdown. So even when they once every few years look like a big boy offense, they still can't end up with a touchdown in the end zone.
No, it's amazing. They go to their church mode. And for a guy that had the Bears minus 2.5,
there were a few guys in my living room that way, too.
Yeah. It's like, come on. Dying. You're
like,
inside
the score.
You're inside the five or whatever the hell you were. Just punch it in.
And I know Cairo Santos has been money and automatic, but I'm thinking, wouldn't it be fitting if he just the chip shot field goal inside the 10 and all of a sudden there's a bad snap and you waited to 1 second to call the timeout? And I mean, something could have gone awry there. It would just been so bears, but they found a way.
Yeah. I mean, Nagy even said after the game, he goes, it's a risk. If you don't make the field goal, I'm the one that has to go up to the podium. But usually it ends up working out. It did. I was shocked that Santos came up so short on the 53-yard attempt.
Mm-hmm.
That blew my mind. I mean, here's a guy that's been kicking really well. You're indoors. You've got no wind, or you've got, you know, 2 miles an hour in every direction, whatever it is. But I couldn't believe he was that short. He was almost as short as he was in the 65-yarder from in Pittsburgh.
That's why it scared me a little bit. There was, you know, 10% thinking this might not turn out as well as you'd hope.
I wonder how many Bears
If you're laying 2.5, it didn't turn out as well as you hope.
I wonder how many Bears fans at that time were hoping he missed.
Just so we continue. I mean, you know, it unfortunately in this city, if you're a Cubs fan, you've been there. I assume you're a Sox fan, you've been there.
Oh, yeah.
Hawks fan, you might be there now. You know, Bulls certainly been there time and again. You just get so bad and you want change for change sake, even though you, if you think it through, it's like, okay, but what changes if this, you know, the same people at the top are making the decisions that get you the bad GM and coach to begin with.
Right.
But we've all been there. It's like, I want the whole bottom to fall out completely because then they have to, they can't possibly rationalize keeping people around.
Right. And it's a shame because the players busted their tail. They work hard. They try to win the games. They always do. You know, that's what they have. They do. They have 17 opportunities now to go on out and play this as hard as they can for their livelihood. And you don't know how long it's going to last. You don't know if they get an injury or something's gone, or they play for 4 or 5 years and they're done with. So every time they step on the field, they're doing their best to win. You don't see a lot of players lollygagging in the NFL. They make stupid decisions. Artie Burns might not be able to keep up with Reynolds. You know, but yeah, it's not that they're not trying. They're just not good enough.
Limited,
sometimes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Limited capabilities. Yeah. 312-332-3776. So Justin Fields, should he start again? You can answer it on our ESPN 1000 Twitter site or here at ESPN 1000, 312-332-3776. We'll talk more Bears as we come back. Also, some other stuff. I'm still thawing out, and we'll talk about what that has to do and why that is. We come back. It's Huebner and Handley on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Handley and Huebner here on ESPN 1000. We'll be here till noon. And we've got a couple football games here on ESPN 1000. NFL action. Bears have the day off after their Thanksgiving Day win. Brian, yesterday I left here, went and picked up my girlfriend in Naperville, and we drove out to Northern Illinois, to Husky Stadium. And I'm building a house out in Lockport. Lockport makes the 8A championship, so I figured, you know what? That'd be nice to get on out there and support the guys. Damn, I didn't go dress well enough.
Oh.
It was freezing. The wind just blowing through DeKalb, blowing up and down Andy Glidden Road the other day. And it was cold as hell, but Lockport comes out a winner 24-6 over Maine South. The only touchdown they gave up, they sacked the quarterback at like the 45. The quarterback fumbles. A running back picks up the ball and runs to the 5, and then they scored a couple plays later. But the Lockport Porters, who were winless 2 years ago, now a 8A state champs. And I know you've got some bragging rights too, right?
Fenwick. Yeah, Fenwick High School. First state championship.
Yep.
After all these years, they've had certainly competitive teams in the past and good football programs in the past, but God bless them. They got it done yesterday in early morning game.
Yeah.
So you didn't get there to a chance to see that.
No, but you got sun and everything. I saw the end of the Wheaton North game. Wheaton North was running it up on St. Rita, and they scored two more touchdowns when I got there. Cause you know, these high school football games, sometimes we got four of them. One goes late and then everything just starts going a little bit later. And there were a ton of points. The Cary Grove, East St. Louis, Cary Grove wins 37-36, Wheaton North 35-6, and Fenwick was 34-15. So, but it was
over Kankakee.
Yeah.
And, Michael O'Brien in the Sun-Times covering it, their high school guy said, you know, Fenwick has produced a Pulitzer Prize winner, an astronaut, a Heisman winner, and Rick Morsey. So he didn't say that, but Steve Greenberg said, I'm going to guess that Rick was the astronaut.
Yes. Yes, he is. So that's funny. It's great to see Fenwick gets a win. Wheaton North. I didn't even know there was a Wheaton North. I'm sorry. And then Lockport gets the victory. So that's nice. And on Friday, just for so the smaller schools don't feel left out, Joliet Catholic wins 56-27 over Sacred Heart Griffin. Byron wins in 3A, Wilmington in 2A, and Lena Winslow in 1A. So the high school football season comes to an end, and my hands are, for some weird reason, when I wear gloves, I probably should have this checked out. My fingers get like numb when I wear gloves. So I don't wear gloves. I just put them in my pockets.
Well, that, so, next time, a flask, hand warmers.
I know.
You could have gone to the Husky shop and bought yourself an NIU sweatshirt.
Sure.
Hoodie.
I could have done all that stuff.
Yeah.
I should have dressed. I'm wearing a better sweatshirt now sitting on the radio. I got a Guinness hoodie that I should have had this last. Yeah. I know.
I thought you were picking up your girlfriend to go to a brewery. But
no.
You went out, and God bless her. Yep. You've made that trek to high school football and basketball for years, right?
Yeah, for basketball especially. We've gone, my buddies and I have gone like 28 of the last 30 years. Now we have to figure out what hotels in Champaign again, because now it's back in Champaign after like 25 years in Peoria. So we're looking forward to March, and that'll be fun. But yeah, I don't usually go for football, but it was fun to go yesterday. So that was cool. Let's grab some calls. 312-332-3776. We going out to Mount Greenwood and Brandon. Brandon, what's going on this morning?
Hey, what's up, buddy? How you guys doing today?
Doing well.
I love the show. I just had a quick question about my fantasy lineup here. I wanted to ask the experts. I am having a tough debate.
Well, Jeff Beller was on from 8 to 9, but you can ask us. We'll see if we can help you.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I'm having a tough debate with myself here. I don't know whether to go with Mike Williams or with Waddle. They've both been having a hell of a week, and this is a tough matchup for me, and this is really my only concern here.
Waddle's been running too, hasn't he? They've been handing the ball off to him.
He's got his last two touching attempts. He's scored both times.
Yeah. I might go that way. I might lean that way just because he has a dual threat. So.
And they are against Carolina, which is fourth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll confuse things until they take Williams.
There you go. There you go.
But I'm not a fancy guy. What? I go Fred.
If you want to, text Jeff Meller.
Yeah.
Because he answers texts like all the way up to like 11:45.
Tweet him.
Yeah. Or you can listen to the podcast. Number. The podcast is up at ESPN 1000. You can go and listen to the fantasy podcast. I'm sure
he's on Twitter, so he's the guy.
He's really good. He answers questions throughout most of the morning until it gets underway. Let's go to LaGrange and Bob. You're on ESPN 1000. Bob, what's up?
Yeah, I'd like to know who came up with that question. If Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers was hurt, they would get the starting job back. Any other city had a starting quarterback. He obviously come back. He come back after he get well. So who created this situation about he shouldn't play? All this crap about if he get hurt. No. So next year they come back and say, well, you really didn't prove anything, Fields. Well, let him finish it out. All this doubt. Andy Dalton got a $10 million. $10 million, he's going to be gone, right? Are you going to bring Andy Dalton back for another $10 million? I don't understand.
I hope not.
No.
Bob, the conversation was that there are Bear fans out there, and I was with a bunch of them on Thanksgiving Day, who don't want him to get hurt. They think he's going to get killed. They think Nagy's damaging him football-wise, and they just want the new coach to have pretty much a blank slate. But I'm with you. I was the guy who wanted to see him first start the first game and go all the way through 17. There's a segment of Bears fans now who are just frustrated with the whole thing and think it's the best for Justin Fields not to be on the field for the rest of the season.
I have one other question.
Yep.
Detroit Lions can't cover me. Come on, man. They got the worst defense ever. Ooh, and the Dolphins look good. Ooh, they have no defense. They can't cover anybody. That's why they have zero wins. So what? He did a hell of a job against who? Detroit? Come on, man.
Well, he threw well, but they still only scored one touchdown, Bob. I'm just saying, I've felt safe with him out there. He didn't get rattled, and I understand that. They didn't put much pressure on him.
When did Fields get rattled? I mean, he against Cleveland, they had people, nobody blocked anybody. They didn't have max protector. Come on, he fumbled the ball. The guy hit your arm and knocked the ball out if he weighs 300 pounds. That's what strong guys do. Any guy to get strip searched. Peanut Tillman knocked the ball out. Come on, man.
Bob, you can't. I appreciate the call, Bob. You can't fumble the ball 9 times as a quarterback. No quarterback in the NFL does. And there are quarterbacks in the NFL that have had less protection than the Bears quarterbacks. And it's something he's got to learn how to do. He's got to learn how to hold on to the ball.
Back in the day, Troy Aikman, what, he had 14 interceptions as a rookie? Something like that?
Yeah. I mean,
and Brett Favre, certainly.
Right, they all do. And Favre did it. He was getting good because he would challenge everybody. I love the way Fields plays. I want to see Fields in there.
Absolutely.
But I agree with you, Brian. There's a lot of people I know now that are saying, we don't want to put Fields back out there because he'll just get hurt again. Well, you can't, if you wanted him out there in the first place, when he's healthy, he's got to go back out there to be your starter. And that's, Nagy says that's going to happen. So
he said, but he said, a lot of things that end up not being exactly what he said. So,
well, I mean,
I'm with you. I was willing to see growing pains, and I knew the offensive line was going to be bad, but it's even worse now than it was at the start of the season, if that's possible.
Yep.
I mean, you know, cracked ribs. I know. Do you really believe that he's going to be available next weekend?
I don't. I don't think he'll be ready. So I understand if he's got cracked ribs, he's got to be 100% before I put him back out there.
Right. I mean, look, and they say they're microscopic fractures because the X-ray showed nothing, and the CT, I think, showed nothing. Then they took an MRI, and that showed. So even if you're wearing a flak jacket.
Right, which you will.
And they're not completely healed.
Yeah.
Why would you put him out there? Because it's one hit from really maybe having some damage.
Yeah. You'd hate to get a punctured lung or something like that. Not that I'm a doctor and knows that that could happen, but. It sounds like it could, doesn't it? If you got cracked ribs, you think that could happen. Let's go to the South Side. Larry, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Larry?
Nothing much, but I want to actually make this opinion. Now, you can't – Nagy ain't no fool, right? He ain't not no fool. You see what happened in the last two games against Pittsburgh and Baltimore, where the defense pretty much coughed it up at the end. And he played that sit-down thing with the kneel-down. He wasn't going to get that ball back to Detroit because – I don't know. It seemed like what's the name? The guy who gave up both those, like in Pittsburgh, Vildor. I think he basically put Pittsburgh in field goal range right then and there. He let that guy go 30 yards scot-free. And then he gave up the long pass in Baltimore. He didn't know what his assignment was.
Right.
So he benched him in this game, right?
Yeah.
He benched him. He didn't let him play. I mean, you can't, basically they're 5-5 team because of that, right? Before this game starts.
Yeah, they could have been if they would have stopped. If they would have made those two stops, they're 5-5, and they're still in a playoff race, which is right. which is shocking how close they are.
And see, Nagy ain't no dumb, ain't no fool. He wasn't going to let that happen again. So he's going to say, hey, we're going to take this field goal. We're not going to score no touchdown. Let these guys get the ball back.
Yeah, you're right, Larry. You're right because as a coach, your only job is to win the game.
Yeah.
It's not to hit cover for all of us gamblers. So,
well, but not only that. Okay, so
and the thing is, Brian, the guy that got tackled, I can't remember who it was that caught the pass, but he went down like you know inside the five or wherever it was. If he goes all the way in, he scores. That's fine. And then they have to, but he didn't score, so they had the opportunity to do what they did. And
okay, but benching a guy and the only tool, weapon, a threat the coach can actually execute is playing time, right?
Right.
Okay, so you get credit for that. Matt Nagy was sold to every Bears fan and to George McCaskey as an up-and-coming offensive guru
sure.
who helped mold Patrick Mahomes and was going to do that with Mitch Trubisky. And, you know, well, let's go over the first year, coach of the year, executive of the year for Ryan Pace, and was basically on the 38 takeaways of the defense. And they brought it up on Thanksgiving Day again, right?
Right.
That the offense wasn't all that year. And then certainly in the last 3 years, the numbers are at or near the bottom in every offensive category. 16 points. The fact that it came down to a final second field goal, whether the Bears have had more home wins at Detroit than Detroit does.
Yeah.
At 16 points doesn't get it done. So 500 is now the aspiration.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they got into the playoffs and scored 9 points last year in New Orleans, right? And the COVID created playoff spot.
Sure. Sure. No.
Anyway. 500 should not be your goal or be held up as progress or something to you know aspire to.
You could hear Aikman and Buck trying to hold back their laughter when they put up the screen that both teams were averaging 16 points a game, and you could hear them just like, you know, where are these guys playing? It certainly isn't the NFL in 2021 because you can't do that. You've got to score more. And you play against an awful team in Detroit, and all you get is one touchdown. And, you know, they did
not last year. Last year, you and I would look at when we were trying to figure out bets.
Yeah.
Every week we'd look at Bears total.
Right.
Over under.
Always.
And it was 17 points, 16 and a half points. I think there might have been 120.
I think it was a 23 once, and we just laughed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the league average is about 27, 28 last year, and
right.
probably even higher this year.
Yeah. And they're struggling to get 16 against the worst team in the NFL. And now they get to play Arizona, who has a bye and actually has more of a rest than the Bears do because they don't play this week at all. as they're on their bye week, and then they come into Soldier Field coming up next Sunday. 312-332-3776. We'll get back to your calls in a second. Hanley and Huebner on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Brian, our guy Jim Lexa got to us on Twitter and said, hey, if the Bears were a contender this year, then Andy Dalton should have been starting all year. But to me, the key is get Fields as ready as possible, as quickly as possible to be the starter. Keep him as a starter when he's healthy again. And I know that's the way a lot of people feel.
Yeah, I feel that way. Yeah. I think you feel that way.
I do.
Get the most you can get out of the remainder of this season. And, you know, I think Justin Fields feels that way. I hope so. If he doesn't, then there's been a real change in his confidence and psyche, too, because of what he's gone through.
Yeah, no, I think he wants to get out there as soon as he can. I mean, as soon as he's healthy, I'm sure he's going to be, you know, trying to get out there as soon as he can. They got some tough opponents coming up. I mean, you've got Arizona, you got Minnesota a couple times, you got the Packers again on a Sunday night. You still got Seattle. You got the Giants. That could be a victory. So, so you still have some very tough games, some tough teams battling for playoffs. And you know what? I was never a big fan of teams trying to be the spoiler, but you can do that against Minnesota. You got them twice, including the last game of the season. So I'd be happy to see Fields come back. And, you know, I love watching Darnell Mooney. They finally found Damir Bird with four catches. They're throwing more to Cole Kmet if he could just.
Hey, how about that?
Yeah.
I mean, 11 targets and catches at 8 times for 65 yards. Interesting what he said middle of the week, too, when the whole soap opera was going on.
Uh-huh.
He said he didn't know what to believe because there have been things that did happen in the building or were said in the locker room or whatever, that got out. He said, and I know they were true because I was there for him. He goes, so when I, you know, they get out on social media or whether Rappaport or someone's reporting it, he said, so that, you know, he made it sound like there were guys in the locker room before George McCaskey came down and told him no one's getting fired.
Right.
Or Nagy wasn't, that they had to be wondering because he said, we've had stuff happen in here or said in here. And I say, you know, the reports are out there and you're like, oh, that's interesting. How'd that leak?
Yeah.
Because it did happen.
Sure. Yeah, it's interesting. I thought I heard that some players actually went up to Nagy and said, you know, it's been nice playing for you. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
It's Were they sincere?
Well, I don't know. It's already Sunday, so I don't think he's going to get fired before, you know.
You're not going to fire him after a win.
No,
I mean,
no, probably not. Well, they did get rid of Lovey after a 10-6 record. But and you know, and I was all for it at the time. But the more you look back at it, you go, well, maybe. Let's go downtown to Dean. You're on ESPN 1000 with Hanley and Huebner. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Freddie and Brian. How are you guys? Always good to listen to your show. That previous caller, you know, if this and if that, you know, I mean, if this was a fifth, this guy could open his own bar, Freddie.
Well, and that's what it comes down to. I mean, a lot of times in sports, it's all about a lot of ifs, but, you know, I understand.
I mean, I learned the hard way yesterday. I had a 4-team parlay, and guess who let me down? I escaped with Iowa and Texas, both close games. Iowa came out, you know, by the skin of their teeth. And then I had Purdue, which took care of business, and then Ohio State let me down. That's just the way it goes. You know, the biggest favorite in my parlay is the one that let me down. So,
yeah.
Figure.
It happens. It's what happens, Dean.
Yeah, my rule of thumb is no more than 2-team parlays.
Yeah, Dean, appreciate the call. And I knew you were going to say that, so I wanted to let you know that I had a 4-team soccer parlay today.
Ooh.
Now, in soccer, it's even worse because you can not only can your team lose, but you could also tie. So
right.
There's
and
another
you don't get
option.
Credit for that.
No.
Yeah.
So I picked Brentford over Everton, Leicester City over Watford, Man City over West Ham, and Tottenham over Burnley. And I'm looking here. Brentford wins. Leicester City wins. Manchester City wins. So I got 3 wins. The fourth one, Tottenham and Burnley, postponed to a later date.
So
I have no idea.
Is it just no bet? I mean,
I don't know.
They just refund?
I hope they it would be nice if they paid me for, you know.
Three?
Part of it, yeah. So
that
we'll see.
Be.
Yeah. I'll see exactly what they do. Or maybe they're going to make me wait until this game is played.
But I mean, they can't really do that because there are different injuries. There's different, like, if you took that into account, right?
Yeah.
So I think they either bang the bet. I can't imagine they're going to pay you on 3, but
Yeah, I know. I'll wait and see.
I'm guessing they'll refund the money.
I won't say who it's through until I figure out what I get.
Then you'll love them.
If they're nice to me, then I'll let you know. I'll say who it was.
Right.
312. I was just shocked that I won three of them. Because usually, like you said, and I only did this because it was the first thing I got up. I said, listen, these games are all early. I mean, they're soccer games. They're two-hour games. They're over already. So they started at 8-something, I guess, or a little bit earlier than that. So I got up. First thing I got up, I looked at it and, like an idiot. I'm sitting there and making a bet on four soccer games.
Well, let me
ask
you.
I'm not going to be able to watch.
Yeah. So our caller got burned by Ohio State, right?
Yeah.
And then you had
Iowa, Purdue.
No, Todd come out say Ohio State should be put in the playoffs over Cincinnati because Ohio State's a better football team. If Alabama had lost yesterday, would people still be saying they got to be in the playoff?
A lot of people would, I'm sure.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't. I'm not the biggest college football guy. But you know, you go. What was it? Four overtimes to beat Auburn yesterday?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that line was like 20 points, I think. Yeah. And I mean, and took a miracle catch and pass in the final seconds to tie that game.
Right, right. Yeah, I know. And
all Auburn has to do is make sure you don't get in the end zone, right?
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Oh well.
Let's go to Old Town and George. George, what's going on today?
Well, you know what? Generally, if you got bruised ribs, at minimum is 3 weeks. So I mean, health first. Sit him down. He has to come back in week four. You know, it's a matter of just taking care of your asset. But in general, the Bears have to just play a balls to the wall. I want to see them take chances on defense. They go into these prevent defenses when they're up at the end of games. They should be blitzing. They should be trying to become unpredictable. Their best players are out. You know, Hakeem Hicks, you know, Khalil Mack. My God, take some chances. Mix it up, for God's sakes.
Yeah, it's weird because they do play to try to play safe. And you're right. Late in games, they've seen it. They've seen them lose when they've taken leads late in games against both Pittsburgh and Baltimore. And they couldn't, you know, they tried to do that. And you saw what happened. And I was impressed. I don't know about you, George. I was impressed that they made the move to Sid Vildor. I thought they'd just keep running him out there.
Yeah, I'm super impressed with that. I mean, look, I mean, could they go on a run? Probably unlikely, but try to do it. I mean, I'd love to see him start out with winning against Arizona. I mean, but they're going to have to look what Kansas City did against Green Bay when Aaron Rodgers went out. They blitzed on every play. That's Kansas City. But I mean, you got to mix it up. You got to become unpredictable. They're too predictable.
Yeah, they're probably the most predictable team in the NFL. George, appreciate the call.
How do you evaluate Sean Desai's job this year, given injuries and given the roster that you know that again? Defense was oversold last year, oversold coming into the season. Then you have the injuries to some of the stalwarts or the key guys on that defense.
Yeah, I think about it now. Roquan's now.
Right.
Yeah, with the hamstring.
I mean, you know, Sean Desai, you know, it sounded like the players were all on board, want to play for the guy. Did he decide to bench Kildor? Did that come from Nagy? Did they collaborate on the decision? But it's hard because the defense certainly hasn't been nearly good enough. I mean, if you knew the offense was coming into the season with really no offensive line and you didn't know what weapons you had and didn't know Justin Fields was actually going to see the field.
Right.
The defense was supposed to be able to hold its own, if not be elite, and it certainly hasn't done either.
No, it definitely hasn't. 312-332-3776. We come back in case you missed it. There was so much that happened at Hallis Hall last week or didn't happen at Hallis Hall last week, from Matt Nagy being told he was going to be fired to George McCaskey making the decision earlier this year to put Fields in at quarterback. Matt Nagy talked about all of those on Friday after the game, after the win on Thursday. Once they got back home to Chicago, he talked to the media. We'll play the part where he talked about everything that popped up and tried to explain it all. We'll do that when we come back right here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
So the Bears are off today, along with the other five teams that played on Thanksgiving. We'll take a look at some of the games today, some betting nuggets, some things for the games. There's a couple of good games. Actually, I can't wait for the late games. Rams-Packers. Rams are all just talking about how hurt Matthew Stafford is
Yeah.
And then you've got Rodgers with a toe. I'm not sure what kind of game to expect when the Rams and Packers meet up in Lambeau later on today. The Vikings take on the 49ers.
Broken toe, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. And, you know, if it's a, you know, though that's difficult. He moves around the pocket enough. And against that Rams defense, you would think you'd have to.
And just stepping into your throws, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I've got, I got Green Bay as a, let me see here. I want to say a 2-point favorite in that game. 2.5, according to points bet. And then the Vikings are a 3.5-point favorite. I'm sorry, 3.5-point dog against the Niners. That's a surprising number to me. I don't know. I'm a Niner guy, but the Niners have struggled a lot this year.
Well,
they're 5-5.
The Vikings, I mean, how many big leads have they blown and how many games have come down to either the last possession or overtime? And
yeah.
They ended up in the loss column for them, right?
Yeah.
I thought last week they mentally might have been done, but somehow they're still competing.
Yeah, they are. And then there's so many tough teams to think about. I mean, the Chargers are a hard team to figure out. The Buffalo Bills are a hard team to figure out. You know, they decided to come play on Thanksgiving, and they, you know, made it for an easy game. But, yeah, interesting games. We'll take a look at some of those. But first, Matt Nagy actually talked because, you know, I think it was easier for him to talk after the victory with all the things that happened last week, starting from the Monday morning hearing that there was a possibility that he had been told already that he was going to be fired. Friday, after the Bears got the win and he got back to Hallis Hall, he talked about all the things that happened during the week, or at least allegedly happened.
The report that was out there, right about there was a report out there that George made the decision to start Justin. That couldn't, you know, there's been some false stuff going on. That couldn't be further from the furthest from the truth. You know what I mean? So, like, that goes kind of that question. When you have a plan and you know what the plan is, and you go with it. And here we are where Andy got hurt. Justin comes in. Justin's the starter. Justin gets hurt. When Justin's back to being healthy, he's back in. And when you have that plan, you stick to it, and you don't look back. And so I just think that, you know, I think we can all – and this is kind of what we've talked about with our team and with our coaches is, yeah, the last 72 hours was kind of crazy, right? And I think we've all learned, I know we all inside this building have learned that things can be said and are said and can be a little bit blown out of proportion. The abrupt meeting that was canceled, that's another one that's, you know, just to be extremely clear on that, and this probably will help you all out when I tell you. So when you have a short week or a Thanksgiving week, you morph a Thursday and Friday together as a practice, and they were all walkthrough practices. So what happens is the part of – on Fridays, you don't have post-practice meetings. There's none. Well, that was a Friday practice for us on that Tuesday. That's a Friday practice. So – on the schedule, it had post-practice meetings, which was an error. It was not supposed to be on the schedule. So just so you guys understand the big picture, before I talked to the team, I made it in a joking way, made it let them know, hey, you guys know today's a Friday practice. There's no Friday practice. There's no post-practice meetings on a Friday. And also, don't forget to pack your travel bags. And then I talked to the team. So the abrupt meeting that was canceled because I'm getting fired is to a point of like you can't make that. I mean, it's almost comical. You can't make that up. So I think, like, I just think that there's three things. Now, is this going to stop? No, it's probably going to continue. There's still going to be rumors that happen. But as long as we understand as players and coaches and everyone in this building what's real and what the truth is, then we're okay. And I think we just showed that yesterday. You know what I mean? So I just want to make that nice and clear before we start. I think it's important you all understand that because, you know, I'll help you with that. I'll help you with it.
Very condescending at the very end.
He'll help you.
He'll help me with it. And he said you can't make it up. Apparently we can. If it didn't happen, apparently we can make it up.
So George did – no one came out publicly to refute it other than Matt Nagy.
Right.
Or the report leaked that George addressed the team. I tweeted out that would normally be the role in my world of the general manager addressing the team to say there's nothing here. Now, does that mean that Ryan Pace isn't making those decisions, has no authority to fire Nagy, or knows that their fate is pretty much sealed. That has George basically told, you know, Ryan Pace and Matt that the future doesn't really involve them. There is no reason for the owner to go down and talk to the team about that report. That should have been the guy immediately above Matt Nagy.
Sure. You're right. That should have been. And apparently it wasn't. So, I don't know. The whole thing. And there was a lot going on, a lot of talk, a lot of chatter. I know sports radio is perfect for that. This is like fodder. This is perfect. Everyone wants to know. We're going to take this. Here's what we got. Here's a report we've got. Go with it and stuff like that. I'm one of the weird guys. I like to wait till something happens. There's nothing I hate more than the speculation of this possibly being true, that this may have or may not have happened. It was so difficult last week for me to deal with and listen to all that stuff. Because,
it's so Bears. The fact that that was handled the way it was handled. Chris Tabor was brought to the media. They know the report's out there.
Yeah.
And so the normal media session isn't with Matt Nagy or Ryan Pace. Again, Ryan Pace, MIA. It's got to be, here's a position coach who's got to be take the first, barrage of questions about the head coach and sing his praises and loyalty. And how does that even happen? How do you put that guy in that position?
Right. Yeah. There's no reason for him to have to be out there. It would have been so, like you said, it would have been the right way to do it, to have Ryan Pace out there, or Pace and McCaskey, whatever you want to do, but at least one of those two, not a special teams coach out there to talk to people.
I've covered teams, and the Bulls used to do this under John Paxson in particular. They didn't want to respond to every report out there,
sure,
right?
Especially there's so many,
The social media has evolved and become as large as it is, but because of the state of this team and because of the record, all you don't have to respond to all of them, but Mark Conkle, used to be at Sun-Times and now, Patch, Pulitzer Prize winner. It sport's not necessarily his day in, day out subject matter, but you did Matt Nagy no favors. You did a disservice to him to let him twist the way that played out for 48 hours, 36 hours, where George finally did go down because the players, a portion or maybe many of the players believed it to be true.
Yeah, I was going to ask you this, and you brought it up. I heard Mark Conkle when he was on Cap and Jay Hood the other day, and they read his report. He said a source that he believes in said all this. Okay, that's fine. But when they had him on, he was only going by what the source had told him. He knew no more than what that source had told him that he believed, explicitly in. How do you go about doing something like that? If you had a source, one guy that you completely believed in, do you go with one thing like that and do the story, or do you wait?
It's the old City News Bureau adage. They actually had a sign up in the office: if your mother says she loves you, check it out.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And it used to be you had to have at least two sources, if not more.
Yeah.
So someone could tell you something. Okay, now you work off that and you start checking with other people who you would think would be in the loop or in the know and say, background, off the record. But unfortunately, Fred, I think those days are gone, because now it's like, who can get it on Twitter first?
You hate to have a story like that and miss it and say all of a sudden it comes out and you go, damn, I had that.
And it's all about clicks, right? It's all about monetizing your digital news and all that.
Yeah.
And you see it. I mean, you have four or five guys on a beat, and within 5 minutes, they've all tweeted out basically the same thing, whether it's a coach firing or an injury or whatever. And who had first by 30 seconds? I mean, there's some weird, you get some weird credit for that, right?
I got to tell you, I you follow all of them. I follow them all on Twitter, but for news during the week, I'm shocked that they each put down every time there's a score in a Bears game.
I know.
We don't need to see.
Like we're not watching that.
Exactly. I don't know. I mean, if you have something to add to that, but there's no need for us to tweet out.
I'm with you.
Mooney, a 2-yard touchdown catch.
Yeah.
We're watching.
I thought it was 1.5. Is it 2? Okay, it's 2. I mean, yeah.
Injuries are fine. If someone gets an injury, this guy's down with an injury, that's fine. We may not see it. But I don't know.
I mean, because the cracked ribs were that came out in the middle of the week.
It did.
It was just he's got ribs. I think Nagy said he's got ribs. Okay.
Sounds like a whiny thing.
Yeah.
It's ribs.
Yeah.
I love, by the way, and I said it yesterday, I love Wani on the post game that he did with Cap. And he was in, Kruch wasn't there on Thanksgiving Day, but it was Alex Brown and Lance Briggs and Wanstead. Wani's great in breaking stuff down.
Oh, he's terrific. And you know what? I mean, he's a terrific guy. And Matt Nagy, the stuff that went on with his kid this week is just inexcusable.
Yeah,
you know, at a high school game, you're chanting, you know, his son's playing, and he's got to listen to that. And you know, and I know the school apologized for it. But I always said Matt Nagy is a very decent guy. I would love him to be my next door neighbor.
Sure.
Right? I mean, he's not a mean-spirited guy.
Not at all.
He's just in over his head. I'm sorry. The numbers are, and the length of years that he's had here, he's had plenty of chance to show, and a second quarterback to do it, a third or fourth, whatever we're on. And it's just not getting any better. And I'm sorry, it's got to be better than that. It doesn't make him a bad guy or a bad person or necessarily a very intelligent guy. But when it comes to football, I think I got to do better than that.
Yeah, there's no doubt. A bunch of games being played today. We come back, we'll take a look at some of the betting nuggets. If there's a couple games that you really like this week, let us know. We could always use to make a little couple extra dollars here and there. 312-332-3776. We'll get into Bulls next hour and a little bit of baseball, because there's going to be a lot of signings in the next couple of days because there could be a lockout as of Wednesday. We'll discuss that when we come back. Hanley and Huebner on ESPN 1000.